The Walking in Simplicity program is sponsored by Brother Stephen Milhorn of Expounder Ministries and by the listeners who, by their free will offerings, give unto this outreach. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's time now, children of God, children of the King, time to gather round and hear the words of consolation and words of prayer and teaching words from the Holy Bible. Come and join me for a time in the Lord's presence. Hallelujah to God Almighty in the highest, and peace from God, love from God, mighty salvation to all those who believe and who have faith in the risen Son of God, Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who is the living Word of God sent down from heaven, who is the door, the bread of life, the great shepherd of the sheep, the savior of the world, the God of Israel. Heavenly Father, we declare that we love you today and that you are our God, the God of the Holy Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, King David, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is above all, and if you are born again, is in you all. So Heavenly Father, we depend upon you each day to get us through the hard times which we face in a dying nation, in an immoral, corrupt nation, in a nation that has lost her way. Forgive us, O God, for our many sins, for we have murdered your babies. We have corrupted ourselves through fornication and adultery, drunkenness and drugs, violence, pornography, evil movies, evil music, evil talk shows, sports idolatry. Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you today to the program, the Walking in Simplicity program. This is your host, Brother Stephen, and today we need to take a step back and consider what it means to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. Prepare ye, God would say unto us. Now, my beloved, preparation is an easy concept. It is the action or process of making ready or being made ready for use or consideration, something done to get ready for an event or an undertaking. How do we get ready on a daily basis? We prepare our clothes for the next day. We go to the grocery store to prepare meals. There's wedding preparations, interview preparations, studying for an exam. There are many forms of preparation. And we will go to the scriptures today for a deeper understanding of what preparation means, how important it is. For it seems like preparation is underemphasized today. It's underrated. But is it not a most important thing that we do? We prepare ourselves for many things. But the most important thing of our lives, in the lives of every living person, is to prepare themselves to meet their God. There is only one God in all the universe, and He is sovereign over all, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, the God of the Holy Bible. So my beloved brothers and sisters, let us go to now and prepare the way of the Lord by meditating on these examples that God gives us in His Word about preparation. We should not underemphasize or underrate the importance of preparation. We do it so frequently for so many things. But what about the important things of God and of eternal life? How the Lord would have us prepare to meet Him? Shall we all not be judged by the King of the universe? Some on the judgment seat of Christ and many on the white throne judgment of God. Those who are below our feet right now in hell, their time of preparation, their time of doing, their allotted time is over. They chose not to prepare for God. They chose the God of this world system. They chose the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. So my beloved brothers and sisters, let us go beyond the daily preparations of work and of meals and of exams, of laying out our clothes for the next day, and let us prepare ourselves by studying the Scriptures. The importance of preparation. Are not prophetic words given to us by God? Are they not to forewarn us? Are they not to prepare us for what is to come? Even the salvation of mankind was foreordained. It was prophesied. God prepared the Word of God, Jesus, to be our Savior even before Adam fell. What about the Old Testament priests? Before they would minister to the people, they would first sanctify themselves, wash their bodies, and make an offering unto God for themselves first, before they would minister to the people. When they were doing it right, they prepared themselves. As pastors and ministers today need to prepare themselves to seek the Lord, to seek His Word, to be sanctified, to prepare their heart, their mind, spirit, and body before they present themselves to the local congregations, the Bible studies, TV and radio preachers, pulpit preachers, missionaries, seminary professors, people who just want to witness their faith unto other people. They need to first prepare their own heart and be clean before they undertake such a mission. But let us go to now, my beloved, the Scriptures of God. Many of these Scriptures are old hat to you, but there are new listeners. There are babes in Christ. There are even unbelievers, unregenerate persons that may be listening, that this will all be new information. As I stated earlier, our own salvation was prophesied aforetime by God in the Scriptures. First in Genesis 3, verse 14 and onward, when God was judging the man and the woman and the serpent for the fall. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, a euphemism for the devil, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God the Father was already prophesying unto the fallen angel Lucifer, who is also known as Satan, that old dragon and the devil, that there would come a day when God would raise up his Savior through the seed of a woman. And by doing so, it was later revealed that Jesus Christ, when he was victorious on the cross, stepped on the devil's head so hard that it bruised his head, and the force of the blow bruised the Lord's heel. And later on in the law of Moses, of Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 and onward, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. And on down in verse 18 again we read, and I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto me, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So in Genesis, the Lord God prophesies that he will raise up the Messiah out of the virgin seed of a woman. And Moses, he prophesied also unto his brethren, the Jewish people, that their Messiah would be raised up as a prophet, and that the Father would put his words in the Lord's mouth, and that they should obey him. But we know through history that very few Jewish people believe the words of their own scriptures. And the light was among men, and he showed his works, he showed his miracles, and even though he did so many miracles in their presence, they still did not believe on him, for their hearts were hardened, even to their own scriptures they're hardened. And in the New Testament, from 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and onward, we see that salvation from God for mankind was prophesied. God prepared the way. Even before the earth was, God foreordained. God prepared a way for mankind to be saved. So God has done his preparation, and now we need to do ours. So verse 18 declares, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now verse 20 is the key, my beloved. Who verily, talking about Jesus, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. So my beloved brothers and sisters, God prepared the way of the Messiah to shed his blood and for God's people to have faith in that blood. He was prophesied aforetime to defeat the devil, to be the savior of the world, to shed his righteous innocent blood because he was without sin. And that blood of Jesus takes away our sins. And God prophesied all this and prepared all this in his omniscience, in his foreknowledge, before the foundation of the world. It was foreordained, but that's God's preparation. He is all powerful to do so, but we prepare also in our imperfect state. And it would behoove us to not underemphasize the importance of this. Let us go on through the Bible and look at examples of preparation. This will help build our faith as we prepare to meet our God. You remember the story of Noah, when God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." So in verse 14, God gives Noah the commandment, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." And then he describes the ark, how many cubits, building a window. And then he said in verse 17, "Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives, with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female." So what can we derive from this passage, my beloved? God, seeing that the earth was full of sin and violence, the fallen angels had come down to visit the daughters of men, creating giants, and the DNA of the humankind was compromised. There was very little pure human DNA left, but Noah, he was perfect in his DNA from all the generations prior. He was not corrupted, nor his sons. So he had Noah prepare an ark, and it took him 100 years to build the ark according to specifications, to house the animals, to repopulate the earth. So commandments were given, and Noah prepared, and by the works that he did, proved that he believed God, he had faith in God, and he labored, and his sons labored, because of the word of the Lord. Hallelujah to God forevermore. Also in Genesis, Most of you know the story of Joseph, how he was rejected of his brothers, cast into prison in Egypt, interpreted dreams of Pharaoh's servants, and then God gave Pharaoh a dream. To make a long story short, Joseph was called to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh concerning the famine that was to come, how there were fat cows in the dream and lean cows, and the lean cows ate the fat cows and remained lean, and how the ears of corn, good ears, and also bad ears of corn, and the bad ears of corn ate up the good ears of corn, and they were still lean, indicating the famine that was to come, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. So Joseph interpreted the dream, and Pharaoh put him in charge of all of Egypt. This coming from Genesis 41, and Joseph was made the ruler in Egypt, and only in the throne will Pharaoh be greater than Joseph. But all this was done to prepare the children of Israel to go into Egypt to find provision in Goshen. And God, knowing that there would be a great famine in the land, preserved the nation of Israel in the land of Pharaoh, led by Joseph. And then God prepared the lawgiver Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt when the time came. So he prepared Moses to lead them out and go into the land of Canaan to establish the children of Israel, which Joshua ended up doing instead. But God prepared the Ten Commandments because those are the commandments for all of mankind, a universal morality. And he prepared Moses in the Holy Mount to do this. What are some more words of preparation that we can glean from the scriptures? What about the Jewish people themselves? The children of Israel were given the land of Israel, the land of Canaan. God drove out the evil people that were there and blessed the children of Israel with the land of Israel. But he also gave them a warning, a prophetic warning. They could have prepared themselves. He gave them the warning of Deuteronomy 28, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And then there's a long list of blessings following. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of the cattle, and the increase of the cattle, and the flocks of the sheep. Blessed shall thy basket, and thy store. In other words, your cattle and your sheep will increase. The fruit of your body, you'll have good children. You'll be blessed going in the city, blessed in the field. Your basket or your pantry will be full. You'll be blessed coming in and blessed going out. But towards the end of that chapter, he also gave them a warning about disobedience, about unfaithfulness, about walking away from the covenant, as seen on down in verse 45 of Deuteronomy 28. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servedest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord thy God shall send thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he hath destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor of the young. So what happened, my beloved, in biblical history, where the Jewish people, as soon as Joshua died, and the elders who overlived Joshua, what happened? Every man started doing what was right in his own eyes, and God gave them space and plenty of time to repent. God sent local enemies to chasten them. And then kings were risen up, the mighty King David also, and Solomon, and many kings after them. Some were good, but most were bad. And then God raised up the Chaldeans and the Babylonians to come and destroy Jerusalem and Israel and take them captive for 70 years. But why did this have to happen? They did not prepare their hearts to obey, to sanctify themselves, to be God's children, to follow Him. If they just would have obeyed and followed Him and did according to His precepts, they would have been prosperous. They would have been healthy. They would have been at peace. God would have given them victory at every turn. So God prepared their way of life in the law of Moses, and they forsook it, and as a consequence, they lost out. What are more examples of preparation? How about King David wanting to build a temple for God, but God told him that he was a man of war and had shed much blood, but Solomon his son would build the temple. But David had already agreed with another king to bring the materials in, to prepare the way for Solomon to prepare the temple. And David gave him the pattern of things and prepared all the materials for Solomon to do the work. Solomon had such an easy life. Everything was given to him. The preparation of the temple, a continuous table of food, a great military, and peace across the land. And all he had to do was maintain that which was given him. But what did he end up doing? At the latter part of his life, he was marrying heathen women and swinging incense to their false gods. He did not prepare himself to meet God. Now let us move on to the New Testament, my beloved, with a passage that almost every one of you are familiar with, but there are still lessons to be learned about preparation. Matthew 25, verse 1 and onward. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And all these virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, and let me say that again, my beloved, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Oh, my beloved, were the foolish women virgins? Yes. Were they hoping and expecting to be wed to the groom? Yes. But what was the difference? They did not prepare themselves, having extra oil, not anticipating, not being ready. What about the book of Revelation, where God judges the 7 churches? Since that was written, should we not all prepare ourselves, using for an example the judgment of those 7 churches, to watch out over our own selves, that we don't fail in the same way they did? God also gives us prophetic words in the book of Revelation to prepare for what shall come in the future. The 4 horsemen of the apocalypse, the 7 plagues, the 3 woes, the vile judgments, all to warn us, all to prepare us of the coming great judgment of the tribulation. How we should prepare ourselves with the foreknowledge that He has given us of the mark of the beast in our right hand or our foreheads, that we should resist unto death. If you take the devil's mark in your right hand or your forehead. God has given us His word, His promise, that if we were to take such a thing, no heaven, no life at all, we would taste of the cup of His wrath and end up in hell. You must not take it. If anyone in the future says, put this in your right hand, or on your right hand, or on or in your forehead, whether it be an RFID chip, whether it be a stamp tattoo, whether it be something internal, no, resist unto death, because if you take it, God promises that you shall be thrust down into hell, and you will not have eternal life in heaven with God. So my beloved brothers and sisters, God has given us ample examples in the Bible, the consequences of not preparing, and also of the blessings for preparing, for obedience, for heeding those things which He has said. Let us examine Matthew 24, verse 38 and onward. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Think of this just for a second, my beloved. Noah knew. His family knew. Representing the people who know God, they might have been told, but they did not believe until they physically saw the flood coming. Then they believed, but it was too late, and it took them all away. And so shall it be again in our day, when the coming of the Son of Man shall be at the rapture. Or some of you believe the second coming. How that the Gentiles and unbelievers, when they see the rapture occur, they will then believe. But Revelation also says that they shall harden their hearts, and they will not repent of their deeds. Verse 40 goes on to say, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore. Another way of saying it, prepare yourself aforetime. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. In the meantime, we still need to pray against the American Holocaust of abortion. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we pray collectively, Lord, that You would deliver us from the evil lawmakers that delight in the shedding of innocent blood of babies in the womb. And we pray, Lord God, that You would speak to the hearts of the American people and to the legislatures, the Supreme Court, and those occupying the White House to repeal, to make illegal all forms of abortion. Save the life of the mother. Lord God, we know that we are blood guilty before You, and that one day You shall bring Your judgments upon our wicked nation. But we pray, O God, that You would bring that judgment after the church is called up unto You. O my beloved brothers and sisters, we prepare for so many things, our daily lives, schedulings, studyings, preparings, but we should not neglect the most important preparation of all, which is our soul, our spirit, and our body before the living God, who shall call all men to account of the deeds done in the body. O God, have mercy upon us. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, and rescue Your children from such a satanic world. O my beloved brothers and sisters, prepare your hearts, for you know not when we shall be caught up. And mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Bye-bye.
Thank you, my beloved brothers and sisters, for joining me today in the broadcast. If you would like more information about the ministry, you may go to www.expounderministries.com. And remember, God sent His Son that you may live. Believe on Him. Hallelujah. God bless you. The time is short, my beloved. Come back to God before it is too late. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Bye-bye.
The Walking in Simplicity program is sponsored by Brother Stephen Milhorn of Expounder Ministries and by the listeners who, by their free will offerings, give unto this outreach.